Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know. The Forest Meadows Amphitheater is located past the Conlon Recreation Center, encircled by the tennis courts and Kennelly Field. It is currently being used by the Marin Shakespeare Company to host the Shakespeare Festival in the fall. They have used this amphitheater since 1967. This location was used to hold a university's commencement ceremony up until 2012. This has been DU Did You Know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much. The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney related, and I'm going to be here every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. Yes, yes. And I also want to say happy October. It is the first October for my show. And also, this means that this is the start of the Halloween Disney Channel movies. Yes, so Halloween Town, if you grew up with Disney Channel, you'd know about Halloween Town and Halloween Town 2, and also its third installment, Return to Halloween Town, which I don't think that was that great compared to the first ones, just saying. Anyway, that brings me into my topic for today, which is Disney Channel original movies. Yes, I love these. I grew up with them literally like my whole life, just saying, you know. Yeah. And this is also known as DCOM, D-C-O-M, and it's Disney Channel original movies, yes, if you didn't know. And I always got really excited about this when I was younger, especially before they changed the open credits. When I was still a kid, I'd always get excited when I saw this one dude. He was in like a flannel shirt and he'd do the splits. He would do like an air jump into the splits over a movie reel. Yeah. If you grew up around the same time I did, you probably know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you saw that dude just do the whole jump splits. Yeah, you knew you were about to get really excited because it's going to be a bomb movie. And then if you didn't know, there are actually 100 Disney Channel original movies. Yeah, they released their 100th Disney Channel original movies original movie earlier this year. And during Memorial Day in May, there was a huge DCOM marathon playing every single Disney Channel original movie. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. And it was really cool, though, because I got to see a lot of the old movies that they released, like, for example, late 90s, early 2000s, up until 2016. They showed every single Disney Channel original movie, and that was just so cool to see. And the marathon lasted for a couple weeks up until around the time that the 100th Disney Channel original movie premiered in late June. So it was basically a month-long marathon, which I loved so much because I could watch at least 5 in one day, in one sitting. Just saying. It's not the best thing to do, but I could do it. Yeah. And DCOMs are actually very unique. If you're not familiar with Disney Channel, if you didn't grow up with it, honestly, I just have to say I'm really sorry because it was such a big part of my childhood, and I'll never let it go. I'll never. And so they are unique. Not a lot of them are the same. Some of the movies are there's only one installment. Some have two and some have three. So, for example, as I said earlier, Halloween Town, there's 3 installments for that movie. Pretty cool. But yeah, Return to Halloween Town is not that great as the first one, just saying. And some of the DCOMs are a movie to conclude a Disney Channel TV series. So, for example, there was this really popular TV show at the time called Even Stevens. And this was really funny. The star of the show was a young Shia LaBeouf. So that was pretty cool. And then by the time the series ended, they ended the show with a movie. And so basically we just got to see the family for one last time. But TBH is not one of my favorite movies, just saying. And also some of the movies, a lot of their earlier ones had were based on true stories. And that's something that I really like, because that just makes the story seem more cool and definitely way, way more relatable. And also some of the movies, or actually a lot of the movies, have different lessons to teach their young audience and also hold different messages. And they all convey these messages in different and unique ways. So it's pretty cool. And I also want to talk about the very first DCOM, which is Under Wraps. And its premiere date was on October 25th, 1997. So this upcoming October 25th, it'll turn 19 years old. That's like me. Wow. So it's a pretty old movie, yeah. And to be completely honest, I've only seen it once. But I'm going to tell you the storyline, and I took this from imdb.com. It is a comedy adventure in which three 12-year-olds have a close encounter with a 3,000-year-old mummy. Marshall, Gilbert, and Amy accidentally set the mummy free, but if they don't get him back to his resting place by midnight on Halloween, he'll turn into dust and lose his only chance of being reunited with his long-lost love. That's so sad. But still so cute. Aww. I did say that I watched it once. So yes, I've seen it once. And the only thing I really remember was this part where the three 12-year-olds are, I think they were running around the movie theater. And since they released this 3,000-year-old mummy, the wrap he was wrapped in, whatever he used when he was first, I guess, put to rest, it was starting to fall off. So they got toilet paper and they're starting to wrap it around so he would kind of blend in with society. So that was something pretty cool. Just, yeah, you know. And then their 100th DCOM was Adventures in Babysitting. And its premiere date was June 24th, 2016. So this was only a couple months ago. And the storyline of this, which I also took from IMDb, is two teen rival babysitters, Jenny and Lola, team up to hunt down one of their kids who accidentally runs away into the big city without any supervision. Whoa. So, okay, to be honest, I haven't seen this one. No, I haven't. When it first came out, I was thinking about it, I was contemplating it. And honestly, I really just think I didn't make time for it. It's not that I didn't have time for it. I really think that I didn't make time for it. So I never watched it. But it looked pretty interesting. They had a cool song. They were playing that a lot. I still watch Disney Channel. I mean, I watch Casey Undercover because Zendaya, hello. And, you know, it seems like a cool movie. But watching it at the age I am now, I probably wouldn't enjoy as much as I probably would when I was still in elementary school, just to be honest. And this was actually based on Adventures in Babysitting by David Simkins, which was released in 1987. So this new movie is really just a modern version of this old classic. So I think that's pretty cool, putting a modern twist, taking this theme that was used before and turning it and making it more, I guess, more accessible to the viewers they have today, because probably if they watch the original, maybe the language is different, the costumes are different, the way people just looked in general, it probably just wasn't relatable at all. So yeah, and I'm gonna go on a little break, but before I do, I just wanted to say that right after, I'm going to be talking about what I believe are 10 underrated Disney Channel original movies, and after that, I'm going to be talking about my 10 all-time favorite Disney Channel original movies. I'll be doing a countdown for that, and also, right after this show, it is the New Normal with DJ Cool Kitten from 5 to 6. And after that, it is the 808 with DJ Ho'olohe from 6 to 7. And from 8 to 9, it is the premiere with DJ Jazz. So make sure to check that out. And remember, you are listening to The 8th Dwarf with DJ Breezy on radio.dominican.edu.
Here we go.
Can y'all really feel me? Feel us. East Coast, feel me. Uh-huh. West Coast, feel me.
Can you feel us?
Dirty South.
Dirty, whoa, whoa. Dirty.
Can y'all really feel me?
Feel it.
East Coast, feel me.
Say what?
West Coast, feel me.
Uh-huh.
What? Dirty South.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Can y'all really feel me?
I got
what? East Coast, feel me. West Coast, feel me.
Whoop. Boy, I've been watching you like the hawk in the sky. If we keep open heads and know that one of these days we gon' cook it up, probably talk on the phone. But see, I don't know if that's good. I've been holding back this secret from you. I probably shouldn't tell it.
We go. So if you're just tuning in, first of all, this is the 8th Dwarf. I am DJ Breezy, and you are listening to radio on radio.dominican.edu. So if you're just tuning in, I just talked about what Disney Channel original movies are, and I also talked about the very first Disney Channel original movie and their most recent one, their 100th Disney Channel original movie. And now I'm going to be talking about what I believe are 10 underrated DCOMs, and this is in no particular order. So number one is Gotta Kick It Up, and its premiere date was July 26, 2002. And the plot of this, and the plot of all of these I took from IMDb, and it says, at a Southern California middle school with a largely Latin American student population, Yolanda and Daisy convince new biology teacher Miss Bartlett to become the coach of their dance team. After some early setbacks, the girls rebel against their Juilliard-trained coach's discipline and old-fashioned ideas. But after the girls sneak off and perform in an intramural competition without their coach's knowledge, the two sides must find middle ground. And I really like this because it features a lot of cool dances. Yeah, it's really cool. It's so much fun to watch, and the music too. And it even features a young America Ferrera. How cute! And I really enjoyed this common theme that was throughout the movie, which was Si Se Puede, or Yes I Can. And I think that this is a really good movie for young viewers, because it's just showing, especially young girls, telling them that if you put your mind to something, you can do it. You just gotta say, yes, I can. Yes, I can do this if I set my heart out into it. And a lot of these movies, I think they're just all underrated, because the word underrated, they're not talked about a lot. And I feel like they should be, because they hold such good meaning to them. And honestly, a lot of these movies I never have conversations about, but my favorite ones I do. And I think there's a reason why, because they're just more popular. Number two, The 13th Year. The premiere date was May 15th, 1999. And the plot is, when Cody Griffin turns 13, things are going good. He is a star swimmer, he is getting interest from a girl named Sam, and he has a supportive family. Then he discovers that he is turning into a fish. He also discovers who his true friends are. And I think this is a cool story, because Cody Griffin turns into a mermaid, or merman. And I think it's really interesting how they took this theme and made it centered around a boy rather than a girl. Because usually the sea creature is always centered toward young girls rather than young boys. Like, when you think of mermaid, the word maid, it just yells out to you, oh, female, girl. But then when you say merman, it's like, oh, boy. But honestly, why can't it just have, like, a gender-neutral name? Seriously? But, you know, whatever. It's in our language. We can't change it now. But I just think it's really nice how a movie that is broadcasted toward a lot of young kids, a lot of kids who are still growing, to understand that it's okay for a guy to turn into a mermaid, because both girls and boys can be these sea creatures, you know? Yeah. And I also like this movie because it features a very popular TV star, David Coulier, who played Uncle Joey on Full House. So yeah, if you like him, maybe you can catch him in there. He plays the dad. And number three is Twitches. Its premiere date was October 14th, 2005. And the plot is, in the magic realm of Coventry, the twin sisters Artemis and Apollo are saved by their protectors Ileana and Karsh from the darkness and brought to another dimension. They are adopted by different families, but on their 21st birthday, their protectors force them to meet each other. Alex Fielding lost her mother 3 months ago and is alone seeking a job, while Cameron Barnes lives with her beloved wealthy parents. Once together, they find that they have magic powers and they should return to Coventry to save their biological mother and their kingdom from the darkness. Oh, I love this movie. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Artemis and Apollo, Alex and Carmen are just their, I guess, earth names. And then Artemis and Apollo are their real names from their home realm, Coventry. And these characters are actually played by Tia and Tamara Mowry. And I just want to point out that I don't really like a lot of Halloween movies. Well, I don't really like Halloween at all. It's not my favorite holiday. Just gotta put that out there. Yes, I'm one of those people who don't really like Halloween. Mostly because it's a scary holiday for me, and I'm not really good with the word scary. So yeah, that's really the only reason why I don't like it that much. But I like how Disney, they take this commonly known scary theme, but make it happier, but still keeping the theme in there. So I think that's really cool. And yes, this is underrated. I totally think this is underrated, because no one ever talks about this. Number four is Right on Track. Its premiere date was March 21st, 2003. And the plot is, when the National Hot Rod Association begins a new league for kids, 8-year-old Erica Enders signs up, fully supported by her father. Now, Erica always wins, and she and her younger sister are beating the boys who are competitively trying to beat them. Who will win the junior national championship? And the reason I love this so much is that it is based on the true story of Erica and Courtney Enders. So they are sisters, and IMDb also says that this is a fact-based drama chronicling the story of two determined sisters who battled the prejudice of a male-dominated sport to become world-class drag racers. Yes. 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 Oh my gosh. Yes. This is so cool. I wish this was played now, because I think more kids need to know about this. And the reason why I love it so much is not just because it was based on a true story, but because of the message that it's telling us. And I really don't think that I noticed this when I was younger. I think I was just noticing, oh, drag racing. I wanna do that. I wanna drive. But the message is really that these two sisters it's girls. It's young girls dominating it in a male-dominated sport. They're competing against them and they're winning. And it's showing young girls that we can do so many things that guys can do, and sometimes even better. And this totally proves that these. Oh my gosh, they won the, okay, I'm going to spoil it for you. They won the junior national championship. Yeah, that's the story. And it's great to see them be successful and showing to young girls that you can be successful too if you work so hard for it. And the movie shows them working so hard for it. You see all of their struggles and even them juggling school, which is very relatable to many, many girls. And fun fact, Erica and Courtney Enders, their story the movie was based on, played the stunt doubles for the actresses playing them. So in the movie, when they're in their, I don't know, I forgot what it was called, but the drag car, is that what it's called? The drag racing car? Anyway, so they're the ones in there. Those were actually their drag racing cars. And yeah, they played the stunt double. And I thought that was really cool. I didn't figure that out in the movie because it's a movie. You're not supposed to know who the stunt double is. But yeah. Number 5 is Jump In. Premiere date was April 27th, 2007. And the plot is, story revolves around a young boxer, Izzy Daniels, who trains to follow in his father's footsteps by winning the Golden Glove. When his friend Mary, however, asks him to substitute for a team member in a double Dutch tournament, the young man discovers a hidden passion for jump roping. I love this movie. And I think this is pretty similar to the 13th year in the whole sense that it's a guy doing something that's in society usually catered toward girls. You know, when you hear jump rope or when you think of a jump rope, you think of a girl doing it, not a guy. At least that's how I've always perceived it. So it's this dude who started off doing a sport that most men do, and then now he's moving on to a sport that most women do. And so I think it's pretty cool showing that to young kids that, you know, boys, it's okay to play double dutch. It's okay to do jump rope. I mean, jump rope is involved in boxing too. So, and they showed that in the movie as well. So I think it's really cool how they tied that in. And also, another reason I like this is because the lead role, Izzy Daniels, is played by High School Musical's Corbin Blue, who plays Chad Danforth in High School Musical. And I thought that, yeah, I just really like High School Musical. And just to end that part, it's really cool how Disney continues to produce movies that challenge gender stereotypes. That within the movies that they're releasing now, I don't see a lot of that, which kind of makes me sad. Number 6 is Get a Clue. Its premiere date was July 20th, 2002. Get a Clue follows the exploits of a young girl, Lexi, who is a privileged 12-year-old who has spent her entire life amongst the wealthy and elite of Manhattan. Clad in Prada, she prides herself on her ability to get the scoop and serve it up in her school's gossip column. When a photo she has taken of her teachers is published in the city's daily paper, things start getting weird. A teacher goes missing, and she, along with her working-class family friend, Jack, set out to solve the mystery. What follows is an action-packed adventure laced with mystery and drama. I think, yeah. And Lindsay Lohan actually plays a star role. She plays Lexi, yeah. And I think this movie is really cool. I like the whole mystery thing, so I definitely watched this a couple of times. I like this one a lot, yeah. I think it's underrated. I don't hear about it a lot. Number 7 is Motocross, and its premiere date was February 16th, 2001. And the plot is, Andrea Carson, who loves motocross, despite the fact that her father finds her unsuited for the sport, being that she is just a girl. When her twin brother, Andrew, breaks his leg just before a big race, their father is forced to go to Europe to find a replacement rider. In the meantime, Andrea secretly races in Andrew's place with her mother's help. And once again, a female is participating in a male-dominated sport, but this time it's a little different than Ride on Track because Andrea, she plays her twin brother, and they don't know that the other guys don't know that they're competing with a girl. But they do find out that who they thought was Andrew, but it turns out to be Andrea. They find out that she's really good. Like, she was one of the best. And I think that's really cool. Yeah. I think it's a whole this similar concept to Ride on Track, which is why I like motocross. And also, I like all the bikes and the racing. I don't know. I think it's fun to watch. And number 8 is The Color of Friendship. Its premiere date was February 5th, 2000, and the plot is Mary Bok lives on a farm in South Africa. Her father is a policeman who cannot hide his joy when activist Steve Biko is caught by the South African authorities. Piper Dellums is the daughter of a U.S. congressman from California and lives in a nice home in Washington, D.C. When Mary is chosen to spend a semester at the Dellums' house, she doesn't expect that her host family would be black. Nor do her hosts suspect that she is not a black South African. I definitely think that this is an underrated DCOM. Completely. 100%. No one ever talks about this. I never have conversations about this movie, and I wish I did. I really wish I did. And this really should be talked about because it tackles race in a way that was much more accessible to its younger viewers. And I feel like this movie should definitely be played more on Disney Channel nowadays. It's so relevant. This was made in 2000. 16 years later, it's still relatable. It's still relevant. Many kids now who watch Disney Channel could watch this and learn something big from this. And this is so big. And before I get into this next fact, you may not think that this is underrated, but no one really talks about this. But this is such a great movie that it even won an Emmy. It's that good. A Disney Channel movie won an Emmy. Can you believe that? Seriously, can we talk about this, please? Number 9 is Buffalo Dreams. Its premiere date was March 11th, 2005. And the plot is, schoolboy Josh Townsend has to move again with his father, astrophysics researcher Dr. Nick Townsend, to a New Mexico small town. To escape the copy boy job dad arranged, Josh volunteers for the tribal Buffalo Reserve, working with Navajo clan elder John Black Horse's cynical grandson, Thomas, and his buddy Moon. Local scamp Kyle's cool cyclist knaves gang seems irresistible, but their hazing-like demands bring Josh to portray his Buffalo friend's reluctant confidence. And so basically, there's this Navajo teen and a mountain biker, and they must bridge a cultural gap to become friends and preserve tribal land. And whoa, it's such a good movie. I seriously love this movie. It's so cool, and it plays that one good song. I can't think of it right now, but it's like, I think it's like Stand By Me or like when you need that one song. I hope we're on the same track right now. And I love this movie because it just feels so relevant, especially with what has been going on in North Dakota with the pipeline. Like, we really need to bridge this cultural gap. Like, it really shouldn't matter that, you know, we're not the same as they are. They're hurt right now, and we need to be there. We need to be allies with them and help them out. And I really think that this is an underrated movie. Because no one talks about it. Really, no one ever talks about it. I feel like if I ever bring this up, they don't know what I'm talking about, which is really sad because I think it's a well-made movie and has a really good lesson to learn from it. Honestly. Number 10, The Luck of the Irish. Its premiere date was March 9th, 2001. The plot is, a teenager must battle for a gold charm to keep his family from being controlled by an evil leprechaun. And this might sound a bit odd, but it was actually pretty cool. And the overall message of the movie was to appreciate where your family comes from and to understand your family's roots and be proud of who you are. And at the end of the movie, we were at, I believe it was like an international talent show where all of the high school students were taking the time to tell the audience in the in their theater how proud they are to be who they are. So it follows this young boy who's starting to know his Irish culture and being proud of it, and also his best friend being proud of her Black culture. So I think it was really cool seeing that. And to be honest, I feel like a lot of the movies nowadays don't hold that true meaning, but at the same time, when I was a kid and these first aired, I didn't really get the message up until now. I really didn't understand. I was waiting for all the comedic parts or all the adventurous stuff. That's all I was really looking for. But now that I watch it, and if you watch it now, really look out for all of these messages. I think they're really important. These directors, these writers, these creators have so much more to say than what you see. So now I'm going to go on a break. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 bar. I wish I was like 6'9", so I could get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood Black, while the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, the Bible. Got hit with a bottle, put in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, quick, got sick to my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of being up together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car, so far I got this hatchback. And everywhere I go, yo, I get laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the backseat, but that's flat. And you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet and a hoe type, but really though, Figaro, when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people wanna cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 until the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in the concrete jungles and these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly, make me say my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller.
Hi-ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, I just talked about what I believe are 10 underrated Disney Channel original movies. And now I'm going to be talking about my 10 all-time favorite DCOMs. And this is, So I'm going to do a countdown. I'm going to start from number 10, and I'm going to do my favorite, my most favorite one, very last, at the very end of the show. So at number 10, I have Rip Girls, and its premiere date was April 22nd, 2000. And the plot is, when a 13-year-old girl named Sydney and her father come to an island in Hawaii, they find a closer relationship to each other and think about changing the island. During Sydney's adventures, she finds friends, a new hobby with her fantastic photography, how to surf, and the truth about her mother. And I thought this was really cool because they based the movie in around Hawaii, but it was actually filmed in Australia. But I didn't know that until now, until the other day, because I don't know, I was researching it. And I was really sad that it wasn't actually filmed in Hawaii. I feel like the state has so much more to offer, and I wish it was filmed there. But anyways, I really like this movie. I don't know, I just like watching people do sports that I can't do. So watching them surf looked really interesting, and I was just so intrigued by it. But I also wish that this movie was, the main character was Hawaiian. In the movie, she's, I think, half, only half. Yeah, so it would have been nicer if, because one of the people she meets, or really all the people she meets there, are full Hawaiian, but I wish that one of her friends could have been maybe the lead role. I think that would have been really cool to put in the movie instead. But anyway, it was still a good movie. I still liked it. And that's why I got number 10 on my list. Number 9 I have is Brink. And its premiere date was August 29th, it was August 29th, 1998. And the plot is Andy Brinker and his inline skating crew, Peter, Jordy, and Gabriella, who call themselves soul skaters, which means they skate for the fun of it and not for the money, clash with a group of sponsored skaters, Team X-Blades, led by Val, with whom they attend high school in Southern California. When Brink discovers his family is in financial trouble, he goes against the wishes of his parents and his friends and joins Team X-Blades. Brink tries to lead a double life. This is so cool. I think I would probably add this into my list of underrated movies, because no one really talks about it. But it's one of their earlier ones. I believe this was their third or fourth DCOM that was released. And this is so cool. It's really about, you know, it's an inline skating team. They're skaters. And I wish that I could skate, because whenever I'm on a skateboard or if I'm in rollerblades or roller skates, I hit the floor. Last time I went roller skating, I fell backwards on my head, and there were a bunch of kids just staring at me, and I felt really embarrassed. But it was still a fun experience. You know, I tried really hard. And I think this is really cool because this movie features a lot of stunts, and it really just made me wish I could skate, but I'm just too clumsy for it. But you know, the ending was really cool because they had a competition, which many movies have. So definitely watch this. I love it a lot. Number 8 is Geek Charming. Oh, I love this. So its premiere date was November 11th, 2011. 11, 11, 11. Oh, so cute. And I think that this storyline is really cute. And it is Dylan Schoenfield is the pink princess of the upscale Woodlands Academy. And she has the coolest boyfriend, the most popular friends, and a brand new It bag that everyone covets. But when she accidentally tosses her Serge Sanchez bag into a fountain, this princess comes face to face with her own personal frog, self-professed film geek Josh Rosen. In return for rescuing Dylan's bag, Josh convinces Dylan to let him film her for his documentary on high school popularity. Reluctantly, Dylan lets F-list Josh into her A-list world and is shocked to realize that sometimes nerds can be pretty cool. But when Dylan's so-called Prince Charming of a boyfriend dumps her flat, her life and her social status comes to a crashing halt. Oh my gosh, this is so cute. And, okay, the reason why I think this movie was just so cute for me, because at the time, the two leads, Dylan and Josh, were dating in real life. Oh my gosh, this is so cute. It's like Once Upon a Time, how Snow and Charming, the actors who play them are dating in real life. They're married. They have two kids. Oh my gosh. But this is so sad because the people in Geek Charming are no longer together, and my heart's broken now. But it was still, at the time, in 2011, I was in like middle school, and I remember me and my friend were super excited about this because it was just so freaking cute. And I mean, this is actually a pretty cliche story, but with a modern twist, but I don't know. I liked it. I just, yeah, this is a good movie. I think if you're just into the whole cliche movie where it's like, oh, guy, girl, together, watch it. If you in your mind just remind yourself that the two leads dated once, I think it'll make it even cuter, because that definitely enhanced my experience watching this movie. And at number 7, hold on, I got this. My number 7 is, okay, Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior. Oh, I love this. honestly, I keep saying that because I love all of them, which is why I put them on my 10 most favorite DCOMs. And the premiere day of this was June 16th, 2006. And the plot of it is, it is the story of an average popular American teenager named Wendy Wu, who discovers that in order to win the coveted crown, she must learn the way of the warrior. Wendy Wu has a one-track mind, and that track leads directly to the title of Homecoming Queen. No unscheduled stops and no unnecessary detours. When a mysterious Chinese monk named Shen arrives to mold Wendy into a fearless kung fu warrior, however, her royal aspirations suddenly jump the track as she desperately attempts to juggle her boyfriend, her homework, and of course, the fierce competition to become Homecoming Queen. Now, as Wendy begins to train her mind, body, and spirit in the ancient tradition of the martial arts, and her inner warrior gradually begins to emerge, the girl who once obsessed over popularity finally begins to put that popularity in perspective as she gradually realizes what truly matters in life. Oh, I need to breathe. That was really long. But that, anyway, that it was such a good movie, and I love this so much because Asian, hello, I am Asian too. Representation that matters so much. And I mean, I'm not Chinese, but it was still cool to see someone who sorta looks like me on the TV. Yeah, I don't know. I really like Brenda Song too. She plays the lead role. She plays Wendy Wu. And yeah, I think one of the biggest reasons why I like this so much is because it's centered around Asian culture. And a lot of Disney Channel movies don't do that. So I think that's what really made it unique to me. And also it featured a lot of cool stunts. And I like Brenda Song. I like her a lot. And honestly, it would be really cool to see her play the live action Mulan. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. And number six, I have Johnny Tsunami for number six. And its premiere date was July 24th, 1999. And the plot is, young surfer Johnny Capahala gets a rude awakening when his dad relocates to Vermont, a state seriously lacking in waves. There, he struggles to fit in a private school where everyone skis. Luckily for Johnny, he meets public school student Sam, who instructs him in the art of snowboarding. And when a rivalry between John and snooty skier Brett, they decide to settle their rivalry on the slopes. Okay, this is another surfing movie, but it's only in the beginning because he moves to Vermont where it snows. I still like it. I can't surf. I can't ski. I can't snowboard. So watching this, I'm completely intrigued by everything that happens. For someone who sucks at all these sports, watching this, I'm like, whoa, how you do that? And it's honestly just them going down the slope nicely. I can't do that. I keep falling. But it's really cool. I like it, and I like how it features some Hawaiian culture. I don't know. I think it's really nice. And, yeah, this is a good movie. It's pretty old, but it's still good. And now I am going to go on a break. Remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. And make sure to listen to the other shows that we have today from 5 to 6. It is The New Normal with DJ Cool Kitten. From 6 to 7, it is The 808 with DJ Ho'olohe, and from 8 to 9, it is the premiere with DJ Jazz. Bank, take back, bank. That's because it ain't no work being offered, man. No work. They act like they ain't even thinking about us, man. I promise, I swear to popo to my homie in the slam. Didn't that? Wish I had my cam camera. Made me mad. Vanilla from swarming like bees. Surveillance binoculars hitting the trees. Reliable sources copping keys. Oh, please. One for the life and two for death. Three damn strikes, no chances left. Let me tell you a little about me. Before the end of CLI, say we used to have to use sheets for curtains, socks for wash towels. I was happy as hell when my cousin gave me his hand-me-downs. This ain't no happy Shirley Temple Kellistic crap. This here is serious, more realistic than Radio Shack. Observe as I strike a nerve. Reach out and touch my kind. Open up your photo album, man, and I bet you'll find folks that passed away, partners that been blasted away. I miss you. Spill some liquor, man. Who got some tissue?
Everybody wanna shoot them up, bang, bang. Way I was raised, we had to knuckle up and throw them bangs. We got them up and you know I had to chuck them swell. Cause if I ran home and didn't fight back, my mama beat that tail. Just received word from my folks upstate. They said they tryna take away our weight. And no more beef and pork, just Muslim books and fish. Walking laps around the yard with my Walkman bumping this. Now I'm about to get married, is it clever? Thought it was till I got the Dear John letter. Been down for 10 bucks and got an 8-year stay. And I just found out she had her baby yesterday. Ain't nobody been to see me yet, but I ain't gonna worry. Man, out there ballin', man, can you drop a twop on my commissary? My family thinks that I'm a thug, homie. When you see my mama, man, give her a hug for me and tell her. Back. You gotta watch your back and play it well. Play and enjoy myself when I was out there shrining, getting that mail. We used to kick it at the waterfront, the Hovelayer. Watching the perfect contests between E40 and Dale. That's what we get up under the bridge. Fools posted up, post chopping game, conversating, getting toast up. Leaning against my Zenas, convertible tops and boots the cleanest. Them click boys mobbing deep in cuts, acting mean. The good shots, they gone. Here in the can is my new home. Guess in order to do some right, I had to do some wrong. Picked up a package yesterday and I was happy. It was a box.
Hi ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf with DJ Breezy here on radio.dominican.edu. Before the break, I said my last 10 of my 10 all-time favorite DCOMs, and now I am going to be telling you my top 5. Oh, I gotta take a breath. I love these movies so much. Okay, so number 5 is Stuck in the Suburbs, and its premiere date was July 16th, 2004. And this is about teenager Brittany is bored with her quiet suburban life. She finds excitement when her phone is switched with the phone of Jordan Cahill. Jordan, only the top teen pop singer, has come to her town to make a music video. This is, I love this. Okay, so this features one of Disney Channel's popular alums, Brenda Song. As I said, I love her. And it also features a lot of cute songs. And I think this really, Stuck in the Suburbs really resonated and still resonates with the preteen me. It just connects. It connected with me. We were like souls. We were connected souls. You know what I'm saying? Probably not. Anyway, I just love it so much. The songs were cute. I thought it was a cute story because it was these two girls who love this Jordan Cahill, and then all of a sudden they find this way, or they kind of like, it kind of fell into their hands that they would get to meet him. And it's in the weirdest way possible, and it's really cute, and all the adventures. And it also features problems with friendship, but then they make up at the end. You know, it's still really cute, and it has one of my favorite Jesse McCartney songs, which is Right Where You, I think it's called, yeah, Right Where You Want Me. That is my favorite one. Yeah, not Beautiful Soul. It's just, no, that's overrated. Okay, number 4 is Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, and its premiere date was January 23rd, 1999. And the plot is, Xenon Carr is a trouble-prone 13-year-old girl who, in the year 2049 AD, lives on a space station with the rest of her family. When she runs afoul of Parker Wyndham, the owner of the station, Xenon is determined to be incorrigible and, as punishment, is exiled to the worst place imaginable, planet Earth. After several painful weeks of adjustment to her new surroundings, Xenon enlists the aid of her Earthbound pals to return to her real home with evidence that the respectable Mr. Wyndham is up to no good. I really just love the whole galactic theme and the song that was played at the end. Ooh, so freaking catchy. Wake me up, shake me up, raise it to the stars. Oh, I love it. And also, the outfits are really cool, too. It was like these super, super shiny metallic outfits. Even they were wearing skirts and like long sleeves. I thought it was super cute. So yeah, this was definitely deserves number 4, which is why I put it as number 4. And number 3 is Camp Rock. And its premiere date was June 20th, 2008. Camp Rock centers on a teen girl who desperately wants to spend her summer at a prestigious rock camp, but can only attend if she works in the kitchen as one of its cooks. When she's overheard singing, but not seen, by a teen pop star at the camp, he is completely taken and sets out to find the girl behind the beautiful voice. But first, she must confront her fears, step out of the kitchen and into the spotlight. This was such a cute movie, and it features the Jonas Brothers. But this was during the time where their hair just wasn't popping. It was like really awkward. I guess they were like in an experimental stage. I don't know. Their hair wasn't the business, but everything else was really great. And I really like this movie because I enjoy movies with a lot of dancing and singing, which is why I guess I really like musicals a lot. And this is just, it's so fun to watch, and the songs are super catchy. The end, oh my gosh, the end is so cute. This is real, this is me. It's so cute because she's like, it's really what the plot says, like she really has to confront her fears and go into the spotlight because she's so talented, this young girl. And she's so afraid to step out of her comfort zone. And I think this is a little bit of a play on Cinderella, because it's this dude who sees this girl but kind of forgets her. But in this case, he didn't see her at all. He just heard her voice. And so it's like the voice was the glass slipper in this case. So he's trying to match the voice. Yeah. So it was really cute. So it had that story and then a lot of cool songs in between. Great movie. You should definitely watch it. Number two is The Cheetah Girls. Yes. So its premiere date was August 15th, 2003. And the plot is a four-member teen girl group named The Cheetah Girls go to a Manhattan high school for the performing arts and try to become the first freshman to win the talent show in the school's history. During the talent show auditions, they meet a big-time producer named Jackal Johnson, who tries to make the group into superstars, but the girls run into many problems. Galleria becomes a full-time snob and forgets her friends. Dorinda has to choose between her friends or the dance club, and other things that could break the Cheetah Girls apart permanently. And I love this movie because, again, it had a lot of singing and dancing, and I love all their cheetah print matching outfits. I thought it was the cutest thing ever, and I wanted to do that with my friends because, honestly, who did it? It was so freaking cute. And there was also this super cute dog in the movie. Oh, so cute. And I also really liked it because I loved Raven Simone as a kid, especially during her time with her show That's a Raven, and Raven played Galleria, so having her as one of the Cheetah Girls, I got super excited about it. And yes, the singing, the dancing was really cool, and the end was really good. Oh my gosh, like the song Cinderella in there, I've tried to dance that by myself, even though it's like a four person, you need four people to do it, and I did everything on my own. I was so into it. And number one, ready? Are you ready for this? Because I don't know if I am. Okay. It is High School Musical. Honestly, did you think it was going to be anything else? I love this movie so much. Okay. So its premiere date was January 20th, 2006. And the plot is Troy Bolton and Gabriela Montez are two totally different teenagers who meet at a party while singing karaoke on New Year's Eve. 1 week later, Troy goes back to his high school, East High, in New Mexico, to find that Gabriela is a new student there. They quickly become close friends and accidentally audition for the school musical. After getting a call back, drama queen Sharpay Evans and her sidekick brother Ryan are furious. Then Chad, Troy's best friend and basketball teammate, and Taylor, Gabriela's new friend on the decathlon team, must find a way to make Gabriela hate Troy. Whoa, mind blown. So this is my all-time favorite DCOM, but honestly, this could totally just be my favorite movie of all time. It's just so iconic. So they this first premiered in 2006, and this year in 2016, they had a 10-year anniversary celebration where they showed the movie again on Disney Channel. And I just want to say, if you didn't watch it, or if you didn't see the reunion thing and all the pictures, Troy Bolton was not there. Zac Efron was not there, and I'm so hurt by this. Everyone was hurt by this, okay? Why was he not there? It's so important. They, all six of them need to be there, and there was only five. It's just not right. It's not right. Mm. And he was the lead, too. It sucks. But anyway, this is a really good movie. I was, and I still am obsessed with it. And I was so obsessed with it because I did the dances when they had the special features where it's like you could dance, where they taught the dances, and then you could learn it in your living room, and you'd be like, one, okay, step one, yeah. And then they also had sing-alongs, and I totally sang along. It was basically like karaoke, and then you sang along with the characters as the movie progressed. And they also showed little fun facts in between different scenes, so that was really cute too. And if my obsession wasn't enough, I also had High School Musical bed sheets. Yes, I definitely had those. I am so proud of them. I don't use them anymore. They're kind of worn out, but funny story. Okay, so one of the pillowcases, it had printed on it was Troy and Gabriella looking at each other with the microphones. It was the last part in Breaking Free during that scene where they're looking at each other and like, oh, so cute. And okay, so what I would do is I put the bed sheet on and I'd put my head on Gabriella's head, so I would look at Troy's face, so it'd be like me and Troy singing to each other. Yeah, I did that, and I probably still could. I still have the pillowcase, so I might bring that back to school. But anyway, that is my top 10 DCOMs of all time. Thank you so much for listening. This is DJ Breezy, and this is The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Remember, from 5 to 6, it is The New Normal with DJ Cool Kitten. From 6 to 7, it is The 808 with DJ Ho'olohe. And from 8 to 9, it is The Premiere with DJ Jazz. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you real soon. Let the world stop burning. Let the sun